Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me as always is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
I'm praising the Lord, brother.
Praise the Lord. Also with us as always is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
Walking in the love of the Lord.
Well, praise God. We're so excited to have you guys back with us. And we try to separate, but this week we are putting together a number of teachings that are going to be similar in topic. We're going to be talking specifically about Law of Moses, as we did yesterday. And then today we are talking about the Law of Christ. And we're going to get into that. But I also wanted to remind you guys that we are in the midst of our launch for four-part series on Bethel. Two have already been released, and we have two more in the next two Fridays that are going to be released. The first two dealt specifically, the first one with Bill Johnson. The second one was the Bethel and Friends Contagion. And this week, in 2 days at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, you're going to hear the Sozo Prayer Deception. So we're excited about that. And guys, also, we are working really, really hard on our Marvel and DC and our comics and everything that's going on, the Avengers, our expose on that title, on that subject. And I don't want to put out too much for you guys, but I just want to say this. You guys who have seen They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, I came to Christ through that. So obviously it had a great impact on me. I think some of the evidence that is coming out in concerning Marvel and
even
DC,
even more eye popping, yeah,
might be more eye popping, and that's pretty weighty to say. So, with all that, and I do believe there's been a lot of spiritual warfare on our church and the church family, and I do believe some of that has to do with you putting this time in for this expose, and so we really want to get this truth out to you guys. So please keep it in prayer. It's
getting
a
closer.
Huge thing. We are getting extremely closer, and we have three guys editing now on this one expose. So please keep it in prayer, guys. We really want that to come out and to blow some minds and get people excited for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So with all that said, guys, we as I said, we are dealing with probably one of the bigger dangers in the church body today, and that has to do with those who would believe in what's called the Hebrew Roots heresy or Hebrew Roots movement, but it is a heresy, or the Seventh-day Adventism. And the fact is that we want to deal with these issues because there are a lot of believers that have a lot of questions. And the last episode, we dealt specifically with the Law of Moses. Are we still under the Old Testament laws? How does all that work in the new body of believers? Or are we under it? And so now with this, now that I believe that I think was thoroughly debunked, the idea that we're still under the Old Covenant laws, the fact is, well, what are we under? We're not antinomian. We're not saying there's no law. So what are we under? What is the Law of Christ?
No, that's a great question, and it saddens my heart that most Christians, if you ask them, what is the Law of Christ? Most people that profess Christianity, they've never heard of it. You know, what is the Law of Christ? Yeah, what's that, you know? And many believers that are quite learned, you know, need to grow in this area, and that's what we do this for, is we can all grow. We're all growing and becoming more like Jesus, and we're all learning. But it's interesting because we know we're not in the Law of Moses. We went through that last episode, and we crunched a lot of scripture in a very short episode, and we do the same this time because we have a lot of information, I believe, on the Law of Christ. Some people say, oh no, Bob didn't really mention it. Yeah, it does. And actually it brings them, there's some things that we can see that actually give us an understanding. Now there's one particular passage that says, this is specifically what the Law of Christ is. No, but you can put certain scriptures together and you can read where the Law of Christ is mentioned and get an understanding of what it is. So brothers and sisters, we are not without law. Antinomian is anti, and nomos meaning no law, we're against the law. We are not against the law. We believe that we are under the law of Christ. We believe that it's a heresy to teach that you have to keep the law of Moses. In fact, Paul says to the Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who's put a spell on you? You know, you did run well, he says later, chapter 4. He says in that same chapter 3, you know, you began in the spirit, but now you're trying to be fulfilled by the flesh. And that's when Paul says, I believe it's in Galatians 1, around verse 6, I marvel that you're so quickly being removed from him who's called you the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is really not another. He goes on to say, I think verse 7 through 9 there, you know, even if an angel from heaven comes to you and preaches another gospel, you let him be accursed. So going back to the law of Moses and teaching people that they have to keep the law of Moses brings you under a curse, because Paul says, cursed is everyone who does not keep everything in the law. This is very, very serious. So what happened though, and this is why the law of Christ is absolutely beautiful when you know what it is. And when people understand that they are under the law of Christ and what the law of Christ is, they're not tempted to go back to the law of Moses. Because what happens is a lot of times people want structure. They want to, okay, tell me what I got to do. You know, how do I please God? And they sometimes get on a performance treadmill and it's hard. Well, okay, I'm walking by faith. But that's what happened in the Church of Galatia. The New Testament wasn't written yet. It was being written, right? So they didn't have a lot of New Testament letters and they weren't under the law of Moses. So it was very easy for the Jewish believers that believed you had to keep the law of Moses to say, ah, yes, you got to be circumcised. Ah, you have to keep the feast days and so forth. And Paul's like, whoa, wait a second. You know, that's a false teaching. So now we have the New Testament and we have, I believe, the law of Christ, and they had it then to, you know, they had it then, but maybe not its fullest expression till the last books of the New Testament were written, but at least the very kernel of it, the very essence of it, as you'll see in a moment. The two references that specifically mention the law of Christ are by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2. Bear one another's burdens. And this is after he's been coming against the false teachers that were teaching that they had to keep the law of Moses. And he's letting them know that they're free from the law of Moses. Stand fast in freedom with Christ to set you free. Don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Well, here in Galatians 6:2, he says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. So guess what? We're not only under the law of Christ, but we're called to fulfill it. And it's connected to bearing each other's burdens. You might see where this is going. The second reference Paul makes to, you know, regarding the law of Christ is in 1 Corinthians 9:21, where Paul speaks of, quote, not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. He used that term, but under the law of Christ. Remember, Paul a number of times says we're not under the law of Moses, okay? Or we're not under the law, speaking of the law of Moses. But here he says specifically that we are not without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Now, Jesus said of the law of Moses when he came on the scene, and the law of Moses predicted that he'd come. Moses said another one would come after him. Hear ye him. Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, don't think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Now, many Seventh-day Adventists and Hebrew roots people will quote that, and they'll say, hey, you know what? Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law or the prophets, but he came to fulfill it. So, you know, we have to obey everything. You know, well, really? Are you not wearing shirts with, making sure you don't wear shirts with two different types of material? Are you making sure you don't start a fire or have a barbecue on the Sabbath? Are you making sure you don't travel more than a mile on the Sabbath? Are you making sure you don't shave your beard? I can go on and on and on. And Paul says, do you really know what the law says? You got to keep all the law. That's 613 laws. I don't know one Hebrew would, well, you can't. You can't keep a lot of the sacrifices and everything else that's in that law either. But either way, when Jesus is saying he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. In other words, he was saying, hey, guess what? Because the law has certain things that had to be fulfilled. And we have an IOU, a debt, or I should say the Jews did. They couldn't keep the law, so they were doomed. And if Jesus just tried to set the law aside, it couldn't happen because guess what? It demanded punishment. But he came to fulfill the law and accept the punishment that the law commanded. In fact, that word fulfill in the Greek in Matthew chapter 5, do not think that I came to abolish the law and the prophets or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. That word fulfill is used about 15 or so times in the book of Matthew. But most of those times, I believe 10 times, it's used of Jesus coming and fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies, the Old Testament law, the Old Testament prophecies regarding the Messiah, the greater majority of those. So it's interesting. Jesus came to fulfill, just like when you fulfill, for instance, a race. You get to the end of the race and the race is over. Jesus came not to set aside the law, but to fulfill it, because only he could ultimately fulfill the law. Jesus fulfilled the law by perfectly obeying its moral precepts. Nobody else could. Amen. Jesus obeyed it perfectly, the moral law. He fulfilled it in that way. He became the, and by fulfilling the moral law of, and keeping the moral law, or and keeping the law of Moses, guess what? He was therefore the legitimate Lamb of God, and he was perfect, and therefore he could give himself for us on the cross. Why? Because guess what? The law of Moses called for the death of the Jews who didn't abide in it and keep every law, and none could. So it was basically, the law basically was a dagger hanging over their heads. It was just a matter of time before they were doomed if Christ didn't come. That's why in the last episode we talked about, Paul says the law is a tutor that leads you to Christ. Amen. So it points to Jesus because it makes you cry out like Paul did. He said he didn't know sin until the law came. The law brought him to a point where he said, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? And then he cried out and found Jesus. Amen. On the road to Damascus, that's when he was finally set free. Well, we have this IOU. We're in debt to the law. The Jews are, but guess what? We're in debt to the law written in our hearts, Gentiles as well. And Christ came and died for everyone, and he paid that IOU. He fulfilled the law, because the law of Moses stood as unfulfilled and unfulfillable in regard to our IOUs, because we can never pay it with enough righteousness. Amen. But look what Paul said. Look who paid that IOU and fulfilled the law. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. Catch that? Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. So, man, you should be saying, amen, thank you, Jesus, that you fulfilled the law. You took my punishment. You obeyed it perfectly, and you took my punishment upon the cross, and you took my debt, and you fulfilled the law. So, he fulfilled the law, and guess what? We've already seen that the law was given for the Jews. It was never given to the Gentiles. The Sabbath was never given for the Gentiles. Circumcision wasn't given to Gentiles. So for Hebrew roots people, Seventh-day Adventists, to say, yeah, you got to keep the law of Moses, it was never given to the Gentiles in the church age. So it's interesting. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. So the first thing I want to talk about in regard to the law of Christ is Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is based on the law of love, okay? Loving God with our whole heart, soul, strength, and mind, said Jesus, and our neighbors, ourselves. Those are the two greatest commandments, and those are repeated as the two greatest commandments of the law of Christ in the New Testament. So when Paul says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ, what is he saying? He's basically saying the law of Christ is connected to loving your brothers, bearing their burdens. And that's why Paul says in 5:14, just before that, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. We also see this in Romans 8, 3 and 4. Paul says, for what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled or met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we walk in the Spirit now, and we fulfill the law of love. Love your God with the whole heart, soul, strength, and mind, your neighbors, yourself. Listen to Romans chapter 13. Paul expands on this a little bit more in verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. You catching that? The commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other command there is, may be, are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. What are we finding, guys? That Jesus came to bring the morality of the law, fulfill it, and the requirements of the Mosaic law on the cross, die for our sins, keep the law perfectly, pay for our sins, rise again, conquer death. As we learned in the last episode, because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we're no longer joined to the law of Moses. We have the Savior now. We have Jesus. And guess what? His law is love. His law is love God with everything you got, love your neighbors yourself, and bearing one of those burdens fulfills that law. Now, the law of Christ is referring not only to just love in general, but listen to what Jesus said, listen to what it says in, and this is very important, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus is giving a new commandment. This is the law of Christ. Listen to what he says. A new commandment I give you. Who? Jesus. It's a new law he gives us, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also love one another. Verse 35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So it gives us a new commandment. This is the law of Christ, or I should say the basic essence of the law of Christ is loving how Jesus loves. And it goes even beyond that, because we're seeing right now that Paul says to love one another, fulfills the law of Christ. He says to bear each other's burdens, I should say, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. So we know love is a big key to what the law of Christ is. But I believe it's more than just simply saying, hey, love God with everything you got and love your neighbors yourself or bear one another's burdens, because it's also tied to Jesus' ethical teachings in the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount and elsewhere. What do I mean? Because what does it mean to love God with everything we have, everything we are, our whole heart, soul, strength, and mind? What does it mean to love our neighbor as ourselves? Well, guess what? You have to get into the teachings of Jesus specifically, his ethical teachings, which expand upon and show us the law of Christ and what it is. And I think, you know, I hope you're following this, because basically, if you want to know who you are in Christ and what law you're under the law of Christ. Well, you ought to know what it is. Amen. So, I mean, Jesus gave the good and golden rule, you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and so forth. This is all part of the law of Christ. But guess what? I love this, guys, because it's so powerful. A lot of people say, well, when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, he was basically showing the true meaning of how to keep the law of Moses. No, we're not under the law of Moses. Even the Jews were divorced from the law of Moses. Read Jeremiah chapter 3. We talked about that in the last episode. He said, I've divorced you under that law. And he says, I'm giving you a new covenant, not like the covenant I made with you in Egypt, meaning the law of Moses. We're now under the law of Christ. So when Christ gave the Sermon on the Mount, he wasn't expanding on the meaning of the Old Testament, a bunch of Old Testament laws, and saying, okay, you're really under the Old Testament, but now you know how to keep that law. Now you're still under the law of Moses, but that's how you keep it. Wrong. Jesus was bringing over the moral law that never changes, God's law, into the new covenant. That never changes. It's always wrong to, you know, murder and steal from people and cheat and lie and so forth. And that's part of the new covenant. And all those moral laws are repeated in the new covenant, because that reflects the law of God, which doesn't change. I'm talking about the moral law of God that's even written on our hearts as Gentile. We weren't given the law of Moses, but guess what? Gentiles knew it's wrong to steal. It's wrong to murder, right? It's wrong to, you know, kill your parents, as Paul says. We knew that because that's written on our hearts, because that reflects the law that God's written in everybody's hearts. So that's also repeated in the New Testament, those types of laws. Why? Because we can sear our consciences, because people can say, oh yeah, I just love, and you have a lot of these antinomians, a lot of these guys that teach cheap grace. They just say, oh, just go love and so forth. Well, what does it mean to love? We're not antinomians. We're not without law. You read the New Testament and you read the ethics of Jesus. And by the way, when you go through the Sermon on the Mount, you see that Jesus specifically actually overturned certain Mosaic laws in the law of Moses. And that's astonishing. In fact, he'll say things like, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. Because he doesn't not just coming alongside Moses and saying, yeah, just follow what Moses said, follow the law of Moses, we're in the law of Moses. He wasn't saying that. He's coming alongside Moses and is actually saying, showing how he's superior to Moses, and he's bringing a superior law. How do we know that? Because in Deuteronomy chapter 23 in the Mosaic law, verse 21, it regulates in various other places throughout the law of Moses. It tells you how to keep your oaths, how to swear oaths, what's supposed to look like, and how you better fulfill them. But Jesus said, no, don't do that. Listen to Deuteronomy 23:21. It says under the law of Moses, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to keep it, because he will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. And guess what? The greatest vow they made, when Moses read the whole law to them, then they swore that they'd keep it, and they didn't keep it. They were doomed under that law. Well, guess what Jesus says? Jesus abrogates that law. Listen to Matthew 5:33-37. Jesus says, again, you have heard it said, to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made, right? He's referring to Deuteronomy 23:21. But I tell you, Woo, man, he's actually bringing a different law here. He's changing the law, just like it says in the book of Hebrews. Jesus changed the law. He brings a different law. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes, yes. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Pretty heavy there. By the way, guess what? In the Old Testament, you were never taught, commanded. I don't see any commandment in the Old Testament to love your enemies, right? In fact, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, you have heard it said that you're to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And he goes on to elaborate on what it means to love your enemy there. So Jesus, but I say unto you, we see him setting aside specific parts of the law of Moses. And when he dies on the cross, he fulfills the law of Moses. He rises again, and then his new law, his law, the law of Christ, comes into effect. So what are we saying so far? We're saying, guess what? We're not in the law of Moses. We are in the law of Christ. Law of Christ, at its very essence, is based on love, loving God with everything we have and loving our neighbor as ourselves and bearing their burdens. But we've expanded upon that because it's not just simply just saying, hey, love, I mean, that's the essence of it. But then we see that there are ethics, there's teachings whereby Jesus says what? Love your enemies too. So now we're seeing that the law of Christ also is the teachings of Christ, basically expanded upon what it means to love God and to love our neighbors. And by the way, your neighbors could be your enemies, and they are oftentimes. In fact, we did a whole thing on the Good Samaritan recently with regard to racism, and the Samaritans were the enemies of the Jews. And Jesus taught about how you need to love the Samaritans. Samaritans need to love us, you know? Anyway, it goes beyond that, because now we're going to read a passage to you, the second reference where Paul mentions the law of Christ. And you're going to see that it's set as a counterpart to the law of Moses, which I think expands it and gives us understanding that we're talking about the actual new covenant in contrast to the old covenant, which would be the New Testament. We call it the Old Testament, which is actually the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, but it's all about the Old Covenant. We call the New Testament New Testament, but it might be better called the New Covenant, but yeah. We just call it the New Testament because it's the popular language. 1 Corinthians 9:19-21, listen to what Paul says. And this is in the context of Paul saying that he becomes all things to all people that he might win some. He says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. So before he mentions the law of Christ, he tells us he goes to the Jews, and when he's around the Jews, he acts as one who is under the law, even though he is not under the law. He knows he's not under the law of Moses. Okay, that's so clear. I mean, that verse alone could just, you know, win the debate, but we've got tons of verses. We've used a lot of them last episode to show we're not under the law. But listen to what he says in verse 21. For those who are without law, he's talking about the Gentiles. Remember, Paul's context here is he becomes all things to all people that he might win some, right? So those who are without the law, the Gentiles who aren't following the law of Moses, he goes, I'm as without the law. But he wants us to know that he's not an antinomian. He's not acting lawless. He goes, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. Catch that? He says to the Gentiles or those who are out the law, I'm not as though I'm without the law. He goes, though I'm not being without the law of God. In other words, saying, hey guys, don't think that I'm acting in a lawless way and not following the moral law of God. He says, because he says, I'm under, quote, under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. So when Paul would go among the Gentiles, he would still obey the law of Christ. And we just read that the law of Christ is basically loving God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving your neighbors yourself. And in the New Testament context, bearing one another's burdens. And we saw that when you're doing this, love does not commit adultery, love does not murder, love does not steal. So the moral laws are a reflection of what it means to love. So nobody could be stealing or committing adultery or killing people and saying, oh, I'm under the law of Christ, I'm free from that. No, that's part of the law of Christ. Now keep this in mind too. We don't obey the law of Christ as a means to win favor with God. Christ died for our sins, paid for our sins, rose again, conquered death. So we're justified by grace through faith. So our salvation is based on our faith in Christ, amen? But the law of Christ is a guide as to how we're to follow the Lord and we're to express our thanksgiving and our faith to the Lord. Yeah, I think that's important.
I think it's really interesting when you look at this from the lenses of like in 1 John 3:15, when he says specifically about somebody having hate for their brother, he says specifically that they don't have eternal life abiding in them.
That's right.
And when I put that together with the greatest commandment, as you mentioned, Matthew chapter 22, and you read and you see so specifically, loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I think there's a reason that once you have that love for God, then one like it is to love your neighbor as yourself. And then it literally says that upon these two commandments,
it all
depends upon, right?
Allah
and the prophets depend upon those two commandments. And it's like you look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, and then you see that God in times past spoke through in many kinds and many different ways to the prophets, but now he speaks to us directly through his Son.
Amen.
And he has it specifically. And we have a new covenant, which you went over, that's written on our hearts.
That's right.
Not like an old one written in stone.
And that has to do with the new covenant. God gives us a new heart. He circumcises the heart. He puts a spirit within us. He fills us with his spirit. We're able to bear the fruit of the spirit, which is love. There it is again. It's all connected. Peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. And those who are walking in the spirit, Paul says, are not under the law.
And he warns of the flesh in that same context.
That's right. So it all fits together like a hand in a glove. It's actually so very, very beautiful. And it's interesting too, because as we consider this, and we were talking about how it's based on love. It's basically the law of love, but it's expanded to the ethics of Jesus and him actually setting specific things in the law of Moses. He says, no, I say this, because now what you were saying reminds me very much of John 1:17, where it says the law came through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus.
That's good.
So we're now in Jesus now, and now he's the one we follow, and we still find use of the Old Testament. So I mean, what are we doing, guys? Mm-hmm. I mean, we spent how many Tuesdays on Typology Tuesday seeing Christ in the Old Testament, you know, and it's given to us for instruction, righteousness, and so forth. So there's many of the things in the New Testament that are repeated that are in the Old Testament. So we have to keep in mind, the Old Testament law there was a civil law. We're not under the civil law of the Jews. There was the the typological aspect. There was the ceremonial law, animal sacrifices, and
dietary
laws of menstruation, dietary, and all that stuff, which we're not under. And by the way, we're gonna have a really cool teaching next time on how we're not under the dietary law of the Old Testament, because many people think you can't eat pork, you can't eat clams, you can't eat crab and so forth, and a lot of the yummiest things on earth. Now, if God told me I can't under the new covenant, amen.
Yeah.
But he never said that under the new covenant. In fact, he says quite the opposite. And by the way, we offer sacrifices different than they did in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
We offer the sacrifice of praise.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you also are living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, Romans 12. The other one I quote is 1 Peter, Hebrews chapter 3. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, and confess his name. And we can go on and on and on. But it's absolutely important that we understand that we're not under the law of Moses. And if we try to keep the law of Moses, we fall in the Hebrew roots trap to be right with God, we'll find ourselves under condemnation. Just read the book of Galatians. Rejoice that you have a Savior that is bigger than all of that, who set you free by his grace, and rejoice in that freedom, and follow the law of Christ. Open the New Testament, because that is the law of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.